Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is TWiT.
Bandwidth for Ham Nation is provided by CashFly at CacheFly.com.
This episode of Ham Nation is brought to you by Stamps.com. Start using your time more effectively with Stamps.com. Use Stamps.com to buy and print real U.S. postage the instant you need it right from your desk. To get the special offer, go to Stamps.com now. Click on the microphone and enter Ham Nation. That's Stamps.com. Enter Ham Nation. And by Ting.com. Ting is a mobile phone service that makes sense. Save money with Ting. Pay for what you use. Doesn't require a contract and offers unlimited devices on one account. To save $25 on your first Ting device, visit hamnation.ting.com. That's hamnation.ting.com. And by ICOM. For more information, visit icomamerica.com/hamnation.
This is Ham Nation, episode number 122 for November 6th, 2013. Gordo joins Bob in the station lab at Pleasant Hope.
Good evening, everybody. It's my twin. The Gordo is here in Pleasant Hope. How about that?
It is so much fun here. We've gone out to feed the deer. We've taken the... what was that, the Sarah Mobile?
No, that's a John Deere Gator.
The John Deere Gator?
Gator.
Yeah. Easy, Don, easy. And we've toured the property, and I can't wait to see it in the daytime. But let me tell you, this inside check, fabulous.
Well, thank you, but it's a mess. But George will be the one, because he's the engineer. He's going to freak out when he sees all this stupid wiring. But it works. That's the main thing. Anyway, I'm Bob Heil, K9EID, and this is WB6NOA, and we've been having a little bit too much fun here. We're here because all of us are coming in, just about all. We're very sad that Don won't be here, but we're coming in for the Midwest ARRL convention this weekend in Lebanon, Missouri, and we're really looking forward to this. This is going to be great. I'm glad you're here.
Wow, they've really turned the entire town onto ham radio. And hams, if you're anywhere within 1,000 miles, get here this weekend, Lebanon, Missouri, because it'll be a ham show with all the trimmings.
You know it's free.
Yeah, free.
Free parking, free admission. They didn't even charge the vendors to come in. Wow. So it's a very different turn on ham radio shows. This is a real convention, though, for the ARRL. And we just got all kinds of people here doing great workshops. George is going to be here. George Thomas from Mississippi. How you doing, George?
Hi, Bob. Hi, Gordo. I don't know how the state can stand both of you together at once there, but maybe you can fly under the radar. And I'll be up tomorrow and... Well, I'm really looking forward to a big weekend in Lebanon there. That's going to be great.
Yeah, Dale's coming in. He's going to drive in. We're so excited. And then Carol Perry's coming in. And oh, boy. But Friday night at 6 o'clock, we're going to do something we've never done before. I don't know if this is going to work, but we're going to try it. We're going to do a taping with a live audience. They have a beautiful 800-seat theater in this facility. And we're going to tape a Ham Nation, since we're all going to be here. And we'll see what happens. We'll play it back in a couple of weeks. It will be the show when you tune into Ham Nation in a few weeks after we get it edited. You'll see us at that convention. So we're looking forward to that. That'll be really fun.
And the best news is they have a swap meet both indoors and outdoors. Mm-hmm. So we plan to be there, what, 6 in the morning, Bob?
Yeah, 5? We get first dibs.
And we're going to see a Collins Collectors Station tomorrow. Tell us about that.
The only problem is W0HRO is coming here, and he's got a bigger truck than I got. So Ken's going to be here. And so is Al Gallo and all these guys. They come in here and they get in there about 4:30. So we don't have very much that we can take home after that.
That's right.
Anyway, yeah, it's just really going to be good. And they're all here. Ray Novak will be here. Phil Parton, all the majors are here. Even Ella Craft is coming. And
wow.
We're so happy. Flex will be here. And they're going to be doing workshops, each one of them. So we're so excited about this. And I'm really glad you're here, though. We had a nice dinner that Sarah prepared. And now tomorrow we get to tour Springfield. George, we're going to take him tomorrow to see the home base of Bass Pro right here.
Oh, that'll be nice. Wow. That'll be great. I've got on my fishing shirt right now.
He's going to go out of there with a Duck Dynasty hat. I just know. What do you think, Don? Don't you think that'd be apropos for him to have a Duck Dynasty shirt or hat?
You got to get the beard for him too while you're at it.
Yeah, while we're at it, that's true.
Yeah, I talked to Ray N9JA on D-Star earlier. He's in town, so he's already there. Oh. He's just. So he's there. I caught him on D-Star earlier. So, yeah, while y'all are over there making sure that the state of Missouri will never be the same, someone has to stay home and keep track on the other 49 states. So I'll try to hold a fort down for you guys. Have fun, because that's going to be a great show. I'm going to make that show one year. But I'm looking forward to Dayton. I'm looking forward to all of us getting together at Dayton.
Yeah, we're going to do some stuff.
All right. Now,
well,
Don,
we need to get a little serious about some things here. You got a couple of things to talk about.
Don, when you're down south, you got to check in with Angel, WP3GW. Angel says it's the 50th anniversary of Arecibo. I didn't say that right.
Arecibo.
I got to watch my pronouns there. The Arecibo Observatory on the air. It'll be on the air, KP4 Alpha Oscar, from 1300 to 2000 UTC this weekend. The Caribbean Amateur Radio Group and the Arecibo Amateur Radio Club will be on the air. And thanks, Angel. WP3GW will be all listening this weekend for KP4 Alpha Oscar Sunday. Sunday is their day. Sunday, November 10.
It's got a huge dish. A huge dish. It's amazing. And that'll be fun to work them. That'll be good. And we have another one here. This is kind of special to me personally because my father was in the American Legion, of course, being in the Navy in World War II. And W3CRR sent this to us. And the American Legion is going to have a special event station, W9L, on 14275. And they're also going to be on IRLP node 4816 from 1400 to 2100 UTC. And this all takes place on the 11th of November. And we're looking forward to working those guys. Be looking for them. And they might have to move around a little bit from 275, but he said they'll be there. And this all takes place from Indianapolis. And I really appreciate the American Legion Amateur Radio Club. Did you know? I didn't know they had an amateur radio club.
There's Legion. Several American Legion posts have it. And Monday, the 11th, is Veterans Day, so how appropriate.
That's what's going to happen. So we're going to make that happen. And Craig Roberts, he's one of the good old St. Louis boys. So check them out this weekend, and we'll look forward to working them. I'm really excited that the American Legion will be represented on that special day. So that's a couple of things we have. But anything else you got before we go down and burn some solder?
No, I think we're ready for George. George, we got everything lubed up for you here at the Heil House. And wait till you get here tomorrow. So, George, smoke and solder as you will.
Sir. Okay, Gordo. This week, I'm going to show something a little different. It's a piece of test equipment. I recently did this on Amateur Logic, and Ray Novak saw it and said, hey, you need to show this over on Ham Nation, because there's probably a lot of people that don't know about this trick. And it's something I've wanted for a long time, and I finally got. And, well, let's just take a look. If you've been watching the show for any length of time, you've probably heard me mention on more than one occasion, usually when I was headed to a ham fest, that I had a megger on my shopping list. Today we're going to look at what a megger is and why I wanted one. The ones I'd used in the past looked more like this, with a crank on it that generated a voltage. However, today they're available in a lot of different varieties,
Some of them may be called insulation breakdown testers. When you've got an old piece of coax and you're not sure of the condition of it, if it had possibly had water in it before or something like that, you need a good way to test it out. You can check it with an ohm meter, or you can check it by running RF down it, but sometimes you might miss a potential problem with breakdown resistance in the cable. Well, that's where a megger comes in handy. It sends a real high voltage down the cable and measures for high resistances in the megohm ranges. Now, a regular ohm meter might have a megohm scale on it, but that doesn't mean it's going to show the resistance that might be present from a water leak or some other imperfection in the cable. That's where the megohm meter comes in handy. Since it's sending a high voltage down there, it's much easier for it to break down and conduct. So we'll know more about the cable that way. Let's just take a look at a RG8 patch cable I have sitting here. Now, to use the megger, you want the cable open on both ends. You don't want anything hooked to it. And we'll connect here to one end. And you need to be careful because I'm going to send a high voltage down here, so you don't want anything shorted there at the other end. And you want to keep your hands away from what you're testing because you could get a really nasty shock there. So let's just shoot 1,000 volts down this cable and see if there's any breakdown resistance in it. Now that cable looks perfect. No problems whatsoever. It's infinite resistance. Let's check a shorter piece now. Also, it went to overload too, so that means that it can't read any resistance there. Now you'll notice when I let off the button here, and the meter scale falls down, you'll see the voltage dropping. This just tells us that the voltage has dropped and now it's safe for us to handle the leads. This may be different on different meg meters, so you want to be careful with that. Now, we're going to look for an imperfection here. I don't have a piece of cable currently that I know is bad, so we're just going to make our own. We'll take this piece of RG58, and I'm just going to take a tack and put a little hole through the insulation here. And now we'll sit that in a cup of water and let that sit there for a minute or so. And then we'll check the breakdown resistance. Okay, that's been sitting here a couple of minutes. Now let's do a measurement. We'll go back up and shoot 1,000 volts down it here. Okay, we're reading resistance now. That's telling us that this cable has a problem. So you can see that a megger is reading the problem there. Now let's look at it with a standard ohm meter. We're on the 20 megohm scales here. We're not reading anything at all. That's because this meter's not sending enough voltage down there into the cable to actually break down. So this is where a megohm meter would really come in handy. If you're going to a ham fest and shopping for old cable, using a megohm meter here would be a great way to determine if that cable had some previous damage. A megohm meter may be used for several different purposes, for checking insulation resistance and motor windings, house wiring. Any insulation is going to break down with time, so this instrument has a lot of uses. Now, you should do a little research before you go to using it. There's time averaging that a lot of tests require, where you will run the megohm meter for 1 minute and then a 10-minute trial period and do some averaging to determine what is common. On a longer piece of wire, you might actually read some resistance. So it's good to know the correct procedures to how to calculate that and see if the cable is good. In my case here with these two short pieces, there was no resistance for a good piece of cable. So there you go, what a megohm meter is and how I'm going to use it.
And that is a great piece of test equipment to have. It's not something that probably most hams would have, but you may have a buddy that's got one. And if you want to check an old piece of cable, just make sure it's disconnected at both ends and run a megger on it. And if there's a problem, you're more than likely going to see it with that high voltage going down there. You know, last week I asked a question. Which of the following describes an integrated circuit operational amplifier? And this came from the ARRL or the FCC General Class Amateur Radio License Exam. And the possible answers are A, operation Well, amplifier is digital. B, it's MMIC. C, it's programmable logic. Or D, it's digital. And our winner this week was Brad, NK8J. And Brad said, A, it's analog. Well, actually, D is analog, but we gave it to him anyway. Congratulations, Brad. I hope you wear a size 10 because you've got a pair of Howl Sound Converse high tops coming your way. And you'll be the best-looking ham at the next Ham Fest if people look at your feet. For next week, we've got another question here, and this is kind of related to what we talked about this week. What's the difference between a megger, like I just showed you, and a regular megohm scale on a multimeter? And if you think you know the answer to that, send me an email to hamnationcontest@gmail.com, and you could be next week's lucky winner. That is, if we don't show the live program from Missouri. I don't know when it's going to be edited and when it will be out. But the next episode we do here live from TWIT, we'll be giving away this LDG. It's a Z100 Plus tuner, courtesy of Cheap Ham. So answer the question, what's the difference between a megger and the megohm scale on a multimeter? And you might win it. These are great tuners. I had a previous model of this in my mobile. It really is nice because you just hit a button there and it'll automatically tune your antenna for you. So one other thing I wanted to mention, and that's this upcoming build we've got coming here and shortly. It's going to be a two-tone test generator kit. It's a Hendrix kit, and it comes from QRPKits.com. This is something that's really useful for checking sideband rigs with. And after we get this built, we're going to show you more of what kind of test you can do with it and just why you might want one. And I believe that's it for now. So I'll be back a little later in the show. But let's talk to Don and see what he's got to tell us about.
I've got all sorts of things. Those LDG tuners are great. You know what's neat about those things? Like you said, you punch a button and you're right there on the frequency that you want. It's like instant gratification. It's like frequency on demand. And you can get practically anything these days on demand, like, well, Ham Nation. You can get Ham Nation anytime here at twit.tv on demand. You can watch it, listen to it anytime you want, whenever it's convenient to you, either video or audio. So in that same vein, why in the world would you still be going to the post office to get stamps? Limited hours, having to drive. Maybe it's raining here today in New Orleans, so if you had to go to the post office today, you're going to get rained on. Well, hey, do away with all that foolishness by going to stamps.com, because anything you can do at the post office, you can do right from your desk with stamps.com. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package using your own computer and printer. And unlike the post office, stamps.com never closes. You can get your postage anytime you need it, 24/7, not those silly hours like they have at the post office. And, you know, you go there and, you know, we're people working for the government. I mean, you know, you stand there forever. No one waits on you. No, it's all right there at your desk, 24/7 with stamps.com. Just amazing way to send postage. And right now, use the promo code HAMNATION. You get a special offer. It's a no-risk trial. Plus, a $110 bonus offer includes a digital scale and up to $55 in free postage. Do not wait. Go right now to stamps.com. Before you do anything else, you click on the microphone at the top of the homepage. You type in Ham Nation, all one word, H-A-M-N-A-T-I-O-N, Ham Nation, stamps.com, Ham Nation. And we thank stamps.com for their support of Ham Nation. Stamps.com, just a great, great, great way to take care of your postage. Now let's mail ourselves over to Gordon and see what he's got going on with his short shots.
Let me tell you, Stamps.com really saves the day over at Radio School. When we have so many packages going out for instructors, many of them are going out priority mail. Now, you know, if it weighs over 13 ounces, you got to go to them. They got to bless it. And then you can't stick stamps on it, regular stamps, and do it from your own home if it's over 13. Well, with stamps.com, they make it happen. All the priority metered postage. So we don't have to go to the post office. Susan and I don't have to lick stamps. No meter to put up with on a 2 or 5 year contract. Ham stamps. Boy. That's tough to say. Stamps.com makes ham radio much easier to manage, especially if you have a business involved in sending materials out. Now, speaking of materials, look at this. Dow keys, coax, automatic switches. Boy, remember these guys. Bob, what have we got here when it comes to switches?
We get a lot of emails about things, and a lot of guys ask me, how do you switch all these radios? There's 35 relays in this system.
Wow, 35.
Yeah, and there's over 80 coax connectors that I've soldered over the time getting it together. And one of the neat things about it is that when I came here a couple of years ago, I was still using my good old Barker and Williams, and I know I'm just an old cat, right? Well, I still got my Harvey Wells, so what else? And I love these switches, but there's a new way to do things. But before we get on to the new way, let's talk about some of these. You can find these on eBay. Personally, I like this type because all the coax comes straight out the back. The other one is that guy. But it's like an octopus, so you run into a lot of weird ways to run all. It takes a lot of room, whereas if you've got them straight out the back, this is the way to go. And that really worked great. And I still have one of these in the system. I won't let go with that. But, of course, going back to the original days, we had the Dow key.
Oh, wow.
Now, this was very cool, but a little bit dangerous. I don't think this is OSHA approved.
No.
Because it's usually 110 volts that the transmitter would key, and they'd go clunk, and your antenna would be switched either from receive to transmit. And that worked really great. I have three of these in this system. I haven't given up yet. But one of the other things about Dow Key is they have extra contacts on them so that you can turn the receiver on or off and turn on whatever or what any kind of control functions. Usually it's muting the receiver is what those extra contacts are for. And so when the it's a very cool little thing. When the relay is engaged, why, it, of course, changes the coax inside this shielded little case, but it also goes out and keys up the switches. That's cool. I don't know. I guess that's a fascinating thing about ham radio when I got involved in it, was wiring all these crazy things up. But then it came on to we could do it a lot easier with just switches, but you still had to switch these. This is an MFJ product, and it works very well. But then we came up a little later with these guys. And this is a remote relay. There's some inductors in here, and it feeds the control voltage down the antenna line. So you only need one line, and you can control two antennas out at the antenna are inside. I have one of these that have six different connections, and it controls one of the six transmitters in here just by throwing a switch. This one, of course, is a two position. So when you throw the switch, you can do the same as you did here, but you can do it remotely. And you want to look into some of these. They're really great. DX Engineering has got the heavy-duty Tim Duffy model. Serious, when you're at that level of contesting, and I mean it means everything, to not have any failures, DX Engineering's got a really great switch, remote switch. And you might want to look at some of those if you haven't done any of the looking around. Have you got DX Engineering new catalog?
Oh, I saw it. Wow.
It's like years ago, we used to get the Sears and Roebuck catalog. Now it's DX Engineering. It's really great. But anyway, I wanted to bring up some of these switching functions of what we do to make things work. I don't know if I get back out of the way. Yeah, there you go. You can see this little guy. And this switches me from the HT37 to the T90 Harvey Wells to the 20A to the DX60, and all of this is done manually. And I have a separate amplifier after each one of these, so I don't have to switch amplifiers. I just merely switch antennas. And then, of course, you know about the microphone patch panel. And if I want to go from one, this is now plugged into the Harvey Wells. Now I'll plug it into the HD37. This is the foot switch, and we can do all of that. We talked about that a few shows ago. And this is really fun. And, yes, we could have done this remotely, but I kept that old switch just to maintain the year that all of this stuff was built, and that's what I did growing up. But all the new stuff of the ICOM and the other radios of today, I'm using all of the MFJ. They're actually Ameritron, RCS V. That's really a nice control box. This is just a two-way.
Now, I have a question. When you're on the other antenna, does this one short on purpose or not?
Yeah, they have it. They have it either way.
Oh, okay.
And in my case, where I had the phased arrays, I didn't want that because I can't do that.
You know, that's right.
So that you can get them either way, that it will short or not.
Okay.
And that's an thing. So when you are selecting one, the other one's grounded. That's what
okay. And isolation's pretty important when you're running high power, right?
It's everything. And that's kind of the last thing we want to talk about. When you're looking to buy switches, you got to look at isolation. And I have to tell you that some of the isolations wasn't really great with some of the old stuff.
They really weren't.
A lot of things have been muchly improved. You want to look at isolation. And that's probably one of the most important things today. But those are some of the fun things that to me brings ham radio into what it really is for me today.
And needless to say, we never transmit and switch an active switch.
Oh, no. Well, unless you want to see your 3500s go up in smoke.
Right.
Are brilliant. Yes, right. The plates get real red, and then you wonder what happened.
And do switches wear out?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Yep, absolutely. I have, in fact, one of these switches, I think it's this one, one of the positions do not work. That's why it's here and not there. And you want to check that every once in a while. And maybe the Megger would be a good way to do that. But you want to go through all of your gear, do a maintenance check. That's really important, isn't it?
Yep.
All of the functions. And do it. Do it. Not just don't get on the air and talk all the time. You want to run through things and make sure that amplifiers are loaded properly. And not only just check the SWR with all of the things here, take your antenna analyzer out at the antenna base and measure things. Make sure it's all working right. We're going to talk about this in a week or so, maybe next week, I think. Tim Duffy's coming back with me.
Oh, great.
Because I had a problem.
What was that?
Well, I came in here last week, and my 75-meter Omni antenna was not the functioning.
I just saw it, and it looked like it was up.
Yeah, but that wasn't the problem. It was a coax connector.
Oh, no.
And
probably
it was
the braid,
that I didn't solder.
Oh, okay.
Because I soldered them the way Tim Duffy solders them, and I think maybe the way you solder them.
I do.
And I
do
it
that way.
And I was always embarrassed to talk about it because it isn't very pretty, but it's absolute. And we're going to talk about that next week. It's very important. And I'll be darned if I didn't have the coax came loose inside the connector because it's flying around out there at the dipole.
Yeah, and it's the braid. It's usually not the center conductor because that's like soldered well.
Yep.
But the braid, if you don't get but just one hole out of the three or four in the connector,
bingo.
You wiggle a little bit, bingo, the braid goes,
gone.
Your SWR goes up.
Gone.
And
sad. But we're going to talk about that. More coming up. And I hope Tim was traveling this week. But I want Tim to be here to explain some of his findings today. He's got some great stories about that, too, especially in that kind of a station. Well, I think we're caught up in our switches. Maybe we ought to go find out what else is happening around the world with Bill Pasternak's great news line done by our great newscaster, which is Don Wilbanks. Don, take her away. What's happening in Newsline?
Let's get straight to it. From Amateur Radio Newsline Report, number 1890, these are the Ham Nation headlines for Wednesday, November 6, 2013. Australian radio amateurs have suspended operations in support of the wildfires down under. Amateur Radio Newsline's Jim Meacham, ZL2BHF, has the follow-up.
Australia's Wison has stood down from its assistance to the firefighting efforts in the Australian state of New South Wales. This, as more favourable weather conditions, has led to the containment of the blazes that raged through the Blue Mountains, threatening the outskirts of the city of Sydney. Wison had been activated by the Volunteer Rescue Association to provide manpower after a state of emergency was declared. Several of its members were sent to Lithgow as part of a Volunteer Rescue Association Team 24. The others had been held in reserve for later deployment as needed. With the worst of the emergency now over, Wison New South Wales President Compton Allen, VK2HDX, has thanked the ham radio operators who made themselves available in New South Wales' time of need.
In all, the wildfires destroyed some 220 homes with an estimated insurance value into the millions of dollars. More room on 2 meters for ham radio space operations is one of the outcomes of a recent IARU Region 2 meeting in Cancun, Mexico. Skeeter Nash in 5ASH.
The gathering, whose minutes have now been published, covered all Region 2 band plans for all allocations from 137 kilohertz to 250 gigahertz. Included is a new allocation for the amateur satellite service on 2 meters from 144 to 144.025 megahertz. There is also a reference to near space stations or NSS operations in the definitions section. This is believed to be the first mention of high-altitude balloons in any amateur radio band plan.
As the C-82DX Mozambique operation fades into memory, the Wake Atoll commemorative K-9WD expedition is up and running. The K-9W crew began operations on Sunday, November 3rd, and plan to continue through November 15th. There will be two CW and two SSB stations operational during this de-expedition. More information and updates will be on the web at wake2013.org. Hot on the heels of K9W will be an international group of hams, including CQ Magazine's DX editor Wayne Mills and 7NG. They're planning to operate from the South Sudan as Z81X, November 14th to the 28th. This is the time period that includes the CW weekend of the 2013 CQ Worldwide DX contest. For more details on the South Sudan de-expedition, search for Z81X on QRZ.com. In amateur radio business news, Daysaver Power Systems is merging with Elk Antennas. Again, Skeeter Nash in 5ASH.
Daysaver products will continue to be offered by Elk, which says that the transition from Daysaver Power Systems to Elk Antennas should be seamless, with no interruption in order fulfillment or warranties. Currently, the Daysaver.com website will continue to operate, but in the future, the link will likely take you to the Elk Antennas site at elkantennas.com for an expanded array of products with the Daysaver name. The merger helps fulfill Elk's goal of expanding its products line for portable, remote, and emergency communications. Both companies service the amateur, commercial, military, and public safety radio services.
Inspiring youth will be an important part of the upcoming ARRL Midwest Convention slated for Joplin, Missouri, November 8th and 9th. New York City educator Carol Perry, WB2MGP, says she'll join forces with former astronaut Colonel Steve Nagel in 5RAW to bring the magic of two-way radio and spaceflight to youngsters in a Joplin school.
He and I are going together to a high school where we will be doing a presentation in front of an assembly of gifted science students and other students who will be able to ask questions of astronaut Nagel. Astronaut Nagel is going to be coming to my youth forum. Then we will once again be opening up for questions from the audience, which I hope, as it does in Dayton, contain a lot of youngsters in it so that they can be inspired just by the sheer presence of this incredible human being who has been in space.
Bob Heil, K9EID, Gordon West, WB6NOA, and George Thomas, W5JDX, will be there with a very special live version of Ham Nation. More on the convention at special Ham and Space Youth events and lots more are online at www.arrlmidwestconvention.com. And that's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline, your independent source for amateur radio news brought to you each and every week for 35 years and counting at www.arnewsline.org. I'm Don Wilbanks, AE5DW73. We'll see you next time here on Ham Nation. They were those famous Gordon West short shorts. How'd you like those? Isn't that nice? And that vintage picture of Bob Heil. That's good stuff. That's
hey, nice. Where did you get that picture of me, man? Where did you get that?
Oh, don't you worry about nothing. I got my sources.
That was 1979, 1980.
Uh-huh. Wow. I can find out anything on anyone, anytime. I am omnipresent. That's right. All right, let's talk about cell phones. Get off the ham radio thing for a little bit because we've got a sponsor called Ting.com. And Ting is a no BS mobile service. They are an MVNO, that's cell phone speak for reseller of the nationwide Sprint network. And it's good stuff. And it is truly and completely contract free. There's no early termination fee or any other hoo-ha. If you're paying an early termination fee to come to Ting, well, they'll take care of that, or at least a good part of it. Ting will give you a credit for up 25% of your early termination fee, up to $75 per device. You purchase your new device through Ting, port your number, submit your final bill with your early termination fee detailed from the old carrier, and they'll do that for you. Go to ting.com/ETF. You'll find out more information. Now, the rates for Ting, you can go extra small to double extra huge. Any level you want for whatever you need, voice, minutes, text messages, megabytes of data, it's all billed separately. And the guys charge you if you go over your allocated minutes or text or data. If you have a heavier month with Ting, you just pay for what you use. It's that simple. Voicemail, caller ID, tethering, hotspot, three-way, call forwarding, all the other features are all part of the service. They're all rolled in. No add-ons. And Ting charges you for what you use, plus whatever taxes that they're legally required to collect. You know, Uncle Sam's got to have his hand in there. There's no hidden charges, no recovery fees, no BS. You can have as many devices as you want on one plan with one shared pooled minutes, messages, and megabytes. Each device on a plan is just a flat $6 per month. And the most powerful online account control panel you've ever seen. You take total control of your account, your usage, your bills. It's all in the one powerful online control panel. 855-TING. FTW. That's the phone number to call. 1-855-TING-FTW. Just think about that. Ting for the win. Anytime between 8 a.m. and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, you'll talk to a real live actual human being. And if you go to help.ting.com, you'll find active customer forums, a simple and powerful help ticketing system, video tutorials, video startup guides, a whole lot more. Here's how this works. You purchase your mobile device from Ting. You'll get that in 2 to 5 business days. Then you activate your device with Ting. You have the option to select a new phone number or port your existing one, and they will break your rates out by minutes, text messages, and megabytes, and bill you at the end of the time, end of the month for whatever time you've used. It's the best plan around. Go to Ting today, hamnation.ting.com. hamnation.ting.com. You will save money, and you will better manage your mobile phone usage with Ting. Check out the savings calculator. See just exactly how much you or your company can save. Yeah, you can get it for your company, too. And because you're a Ham Nation viewer, they've got your back with $25 off of your first Ting device when you sign up. Here it is again, hamnation.ting.com. Go there and start saving today. And Ting, we do appreciate your support of Ham Nation. A great, great deal. Now let's go to the Yellow Brick Road and see what Dale has got going with some Show Your Shack videos and all sorts of other nonsense. Dale, how you doing tonight?
Hey, pretty good, Don. Good to see you again. We're back again this week. No hair this time. So everything's back to normal. We've got a jam-packed segment with videos tonight, two from our listeners, and we've got the still photos that you've submitted during the month of October. So let's jump right in now to Show Me Your Shack. Welcome to Show Me Your Shack, a compilation of shack photos received during the past month. Hugo, K2DER, sends us this photo of his shack. He's quite active, and he's won several CQWWDX awards. Stefan, KA2KNX, just got back into ham radio during the past year. He's both a technician and a collector, and this is the test equipment he uses in his restoration efforts. Here's a World War II vintage Musicare AM and shortwave receiver. And he rebuilt and restored this 1948 RCA TV just recently. Here's the inside of the Hammerland SP600 JX that he just restored. Stefan can't wait to put it on the air with his new vanity call sign. Cliff Fox, KU4GW, is active mainly on CW and the digital modes. After 17 years as a ham, he was finally able to make the trip to Dayton this year, and this is one of his favorite pictures from the trip. Joe Rosas sent us this picture of his shack. He's the net control operator for Gordo's 7250 net on Tuesday mornings. He proudly displays his Ham Nation 100th broadcast certificate in the shack, and he loves to operate. He's looking forward to adding an amp and a signal link to his arsenal. Paul Hadlow, VK2FABN, is a foundation license holder in the outback of the far western area of New South Wales in Australia. Paul's also a member of his local rescue squad. This photo shows one of the radios in his car. Bill Pasternak of Amateur Radio Newsline tipped us off about this photo, published by Steve, W6TAN, in the June edition of the Escondido Amateur Radio Society All Ears newsletter. You can read the complete and interesting story at www.earsclub.org. Don, WB5HAK, is getting fired up to get on AM. He's setting up with an RC390A and a Viking 2. He's using the Control 2P speakers and a Behringer 802 mixer. He says he's followed the tips Bob gave us on a recent Ham Nation broadcast and reports the after-show net on 7278 sounds great on this setup. Greg, WB8FNQ, is a volunteer, and he recently assisted with the Detroit Free Press Marathon. 27,000 people participated in this event, with Wheelers and Crankers starting the race. Greg worked with members of a local high school cross-country team as they served Gatorade or water to the runners. Wrapping up this month's shack photos, Bob Ray, WY7HR, sent this picture of his shack in Cheyenne, Wyoming. He uses a Yaesu FT950 with an FL2100 amp plus several VHF, UHF, all mode, and FM rigs. Well, that's it for this edition of Shack Photos. Send your shack photos or video links to Ham Nation Videos at twit.tv, and be sure to visit hamnationvideos.info for guidelines. And remember now, if you have a photo of your shack or photos, you'd like to see them here on Ham Nation, get them in to us at hamnationvideos at twit.tv. We'll collect them for the entire month of November and plan on another compilation of shack photos on the December 4th episode of Ham Nation. Several of the shack photos you just saw came from Stefan, KA2KNX. He recently visited the radio district of Tokyo while on vacation, and while there, he pulled out his iPhone, shot some video, and described the scene. He sent us a number of individual clips. We pulled them together last night into a video. Here's Tokyo, a giant candy store.
Ham Nation, this is KA2KNX, reporting from Tokyo, Japan. I am in a section of the city called Akihabara, which is approximately the size of Midtown Manhattan.
This is absolute madness. These are electronic salesmen of various types. Everybody specializes in their own branch. Another block. A lot of Yaesu equipment on this particular block. Just to give you an idea of the scope of all of this, this is just one store dedicated, as we said, to ham radio.
You see the various manufacturers represented here?
There's everything here devoted to ham radio, to electronics, for builders, for experimenters, for computer geeks, everything you can imagine. Here's a section dedicated to antennas, mounting equipment, every kind of connector imaginable,
sale on potentiometers in this particular store. Switches. Every type of LED. Every type of connector. Sockets. It's all here. Floor after floor after floor. This is, once again, this is just one store. I do not believe it. Vacuum tubes. I do not believe this. Now, I'm a restorer of vintage radios and televisions, and I have most of the real old stuff. When is the last time you were able to go in a store on a shelf and pick out a 5Y3 new old stock? Or a 6V6, like in the output of a Hammerland? If you guys have any 6L6s tucked away, they go for about $30 each here in Tokyo. Every kind of socket imaginable. Porcelain, plastic, wafer, shielded, unshielded, every kind of chassis, rack, chassis accessories, screws, nuts, bolts. If you want to etch your own circuit boards, everything you need is right here. When I was very young, I remember stores such as this that existed. Haven't seen them in many, many years now. Maybe they're gone from the U.S. entirely. I don't know.
Well, thanks, Stefan. Stefan's busy now. He's restoring his 1980s Kenwood radios, and he can't wait to put them on the air. He promises us some pictures when he gets that job done. Well, it's time now to visit our club website of the week. And Brian, if you could bring up K6AlphaAlpha.org, we'll take a look. The site was submitted by David Malin, AA6RV. K6AA is the club station of URAC. That's United Radio Amateur Club. For more than 25 years, the station's been located within the Los Angeles Maritime Museum at the bottom of the 6th Street in San Pedro. The Maritime Museum is located near the USS Iowa, which is now a tourist attraction in the Port of Los Angeles. If you'd like to submit a nomination for the club website of the week, just send a quick email to hamnationvideos@twit.tv. We'll put you in the queue and eventually get all of these nice websites on. By the way, links to all of the previously mentioned club websites of the week may be found anytime at hamnationvideos.info. Well, we all listen to Amateur Radio Newsline, but how many of you have wondered how that weekly news program is put together? Well, Newsline Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, has the answer. Let's watch.
Hello, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH. You may have heard me occasionally anchoring the weekly Amateur Radio Newsline report. I thought you might like to see how I put together a typical anchor audio track for Newsline. It usually starts with an email from executive producer Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, asking if I would like to anchor this week's Newsline. That is followed by an email containing the script. I've been a broadcast radio personality for going on 33 years now, so it's been convenient for me to use the studios at my current gig with Town Square Media in Victoria, Texas, to produce the audio. I am also now set up to record in my home studio. After a review of the script, I copy it into my iPad and use that as my teleprompter while recording the audio on a production computer. Amateur Radio Newsline Report number 1886, or the release date of October 4th, 2013, to follow in 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. The following is a QST. The FCC in shutdown. How will it affect ham radio? A new report says that faulty radio communications may have led to the deaths of 19 firefighters in Arizona. The Southgate News, Twit TV, and Australia's WIA News. That's all from the Amateur Radio Newsline. Our email address is newsline@arnewsline.org. For now, with Bill Pasternak, WA6ITF, at the editor's desk, I'm Skeeter Nash, N5ASH, near Houston, Texas, saying 7-3
and we thank you for listening.
After editing out any major bloopers, I save the MP3 file. When it's finished, I upload the track to Bill in Santa Clarita, California, where he assembles the final newscast you hear each week.
And that's how we record the anchor portion of Amateur Radio Newsline. Hope you enjoyed this video. 7-3 from N5ASH.
Well, thanks, Skeeter, and we look forward to some of your videos in the near future. Well, it's time to vote again for the Ham's Choice Award. All of the videos that we showed here on Ham Nation in October will be in the voting. The voting section is on hamnationvideos.info now. The prize for October is the amateur radio catalog, or rather calendar, excuse me, from CQ Magazine. Finally, this evening, we received two outstanding PDF documents for new hams. They came from Brad, NK8J. One is called Practical Radio Application. The other is called Communicating with Other Hams. The lessons were prepared for new technician class amateurs, and they're available for download now at hamnationvideos.info. Take a look and share them with the new techs in your town. Well, next week, a video featuring the GM0B contest group and their pursuit of a new record, plus a fun video from Randy, K7AGE. That's about it. Mike, WT6H, asked me to mention that we're a little short for time on the push show net on 40 meters this evening. So if you could just check in, we'll keep the net running real efficiently here this evening. Well, that's 30 for the video segment. Real shortly, it'll be time to travel up to Northern Illinois, visit with Cheryl, and find out what's going in the chat room. But right now, here's the word from ICOM.
ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to offer ham radio operators some incredible savings. You can get a great deal on a D-Star repeater direct from ICOM and help expand D-Star across North America. For a limited time, ICOM is offering a buy direct D-Star promotion for U.S. and Canadian residents. Purchase a D-Star repeater through the D-Star infrastructure program. The growth of D-Star over the past 4 years has been incredible with the release of the ID51A and the IC7100. More people are getting on the air with its incredible mode. In response to the request to make the infrastructure more affordable, ICOM America and ICOM Canada are teaming up to expand the number of repeaters. This buy direct promotion is good now until the end of 2013. Download the mail order form, fill it out, and send it in by mail, fax, or email today. Find out what all the D-Star fun is about. Visit ICOMAmerica.com/amateur for more information on ICOM's Buy Direct program. And after each episode of Ham Nation, visit ICOMAmerica.com/hamnation and register to win in the weekly swag contest. They're also giving away a radio each month. And last month, ICOM gave away the IC7200, and the winner was William Couch, K5WLC. There you go, William. Congratulations. And now you have a reason to upgrade so you can take advantage of all the bands on that rig. I know you're really going to be happy with it. And for November, the grand prize is going to be the ICOM IC51A. It's a 5-watt VHF, UHF, dual watch handheld with GPS, D-Star, and the new near repeater function. Great rig, probably the best HT ever built. I really want one of those myself.
And boy, you need to check it out. If you haven't seen one yet, it's got everything that you could possibly want on there. Right now, let's, well, one other contest I want to mention. This is the final week that you can enter to win this IC7100 over here. It's the all mode with touchscreen and D-Star. If you're interested in that, and why wouldn't you be, go over to amateurlogic.tv/contest and get all the details. And you can only register once on that contest, so if you've already done it, don't do it again. But check it out. Final week to enter your name in the hat for that one. Well, let's see what's going on in the chat room now with Cheryl. Hi, Cheryl.
Hi there, George. How are you doing tonight? Good job. Hey, everybody. I'm so glad to be in here tonight. We got a couple things going, but first I want to start with this particular QSL card from Canton, Ohio. You may know who you are. KC8CFM. The reason why I'm bringing this one up here, if we can see that real quickly, is he had a note here for everybody at Ham Nation. He says, thanks, Cheryl, for the QSO. And he wanted to say thank you for all of the Yes hosts and everyone on Ham Nation. Say hi to Bob, Gordo, Don, and George for me. So that's for Jeff. And thank you so much, Jeff, for sending that little note to me. I really do appreciate it. I see you in the chat room, and you're also on the after show QSO. So thanks for letting us know how much you like our show. And we love having you, and all of you guys mean a lot to us. So that's what we're here for. So I also wanted to mention, Dale, I liked some of those videos, especially I like Skeeter Nash. He's in there in 5 ASH. Wow. We even had a comment in the chat room on that. KF5FEI Bill says, cool beans. He thought that was really neat, and I've never seen Skeeter, so that was so great. And one of the other chat roomers said, what do you mean cool beans? What about hot beans? So there you go. We get some comments like that. And I wanted to say welcome, Gordo, to Illinois, Southern Illinois in this case. I believe that's where you are. You're in the lab, right? The station lab, Bob. Is that correct?
I am. I'm here with Bob. And, you know, when they were showing all of the Japanese parts, Bob immediately, what have you got, Bob?
Well, I'm embarrassed. I mean, this was my tube stash. You know, I got a 6AU6 and a 12AU7. And everybody says you can't get tubes anymore. We're going to book a flight to Tokyo. And we're going to take a big truck.
Yeah.
I'm rather embarrassed. What do you think, Gordo? I mean, that's pretty sad, isn't it?
Few tubes compared to...
Yeah, yeah. OK, and X, you kind of showed us up there, son of a gun.
Matt. To you, Cheryl.
Hey, wow, Bob. I don't know if that's all the tubes you have for all that great vintage gear you have. I don't know. It probably is running so well you don't need any spare tubes for it. But anyhow, it was really interesting to see the Japanese video with all those electronic stores. It was reminiscent of what I remember in the Loop in downtown Chicago, all these electronic stores, but maybe they weren't just ham radio like they are in Japan. That was really, really fascinating. So let's move on to a question here from KI6LSB. Tim wants to know from either Bob or Gordo, and they happen to be in the same place, so you guys can flip a coin for this one. I think it's a really fascinating question, too. So how can you tell when someone is operating split frequency? Bob, let's start with you, please.
Well, it's usually a DX station, and they're really going to tell you. Most of the better stations will tell you listening up 5 or down 4 or whatever. But you can always tell after he calls CQ or after he has his call, listen, there's going to be a huge pile up. And if it's not on that frequency, you shouldn't be transmitting there. Go look around a little bit. And, you know, I think that's a big problem with a lot of guys. They just start trouncing on what they hear, and they don't listen. You really need to listen around a few minutes to get the feel of the frequency in the
band.
That's right.
And if they're below 14,150, you might not want to go back to them using voice.
Yeah, but of course, think so.
This weekend, the big isn't it the CW weekend?
I think so. Yep.
So you go back to them on CW.
Yep. Just got to listen, Cheryl.
absolutely. I guess that's why God gave us two ears and one mouth. Yep. That's for listening. And I know I could use some room for improvement there myself. Anyhow, there's other questions here too. So I'm going to go to you, George. Good evening. And we have a question from Jeff, N3VE. And he asks, George, what is the model number of the Megger that Greenlee was, please? He wanted to know the model number. Could you give a little insight what the model is and maybe where to get one?
Well, I can't quite get it out of the drawer here. It is a Greenlee. I don't remember the model number. But I would suggest what you do is look around for some surplus ones. They're quite expensive, brand new. Ooh. So look around at the next Hamfest and see what you can find. You might not find one that looks exactly like that, but there's some good deals out there.
Okay, great. And I might follow up with you later on and put it out there because N3VE is someone I speak to regularly on the after show QSO, and I invite everybody tonight to check in on the 3.847 megahertz on 75 meters later on. Now, looks like there's another question in here for I'm going to still go with Bob on this one. KB1UGS, Mike says, how important is it to ground those switches to the station ground?
Oh, now you're bringing up this grounding situation. and I'm going to have to get Steve Katz back in here one of these days because when I tell you this, you won't believe it. And you're going to say he's a fool. He's nuts. He doesn't know what he's doing. All of this gear, as I told you, there's 35 relays in this system, antenna relays. I don't know how many pieces of coax, but a lot. And I don't even know how many transmitters. I haven't counted. There's not one ground in this system. Not one.
Wow.
Why?
Wow.
Because the tower is grounded and everything is balanced. The shield does not touch anything. That's the key. The shield does not touch anything. We're grounded to the fuse box, the AC. The tower is grounded very well by 8 foot down and another 8 foot rod below that. Very, very well grounded. So if lightning hits the tower, it's not coming down my shield because it's not connected. And that's so hard for guys to know because everybody, you got to ground everything. Maybe you got all those little nuts on the back. No. And I'm going to bring the expert on one of these days again. look at WB2WIK in EHAM. Just go into the articles. It's called Grounding. Look what Steve Katz written. It's about three pages. It's the best treatise on grounding I have ever read, and it's right. And I learned mine from K0DGE, who was the chief engineer at KMOX CBS Radio. He was the one that taught me this when I was a teenager, and I've never forgotten it. And anytime I do any strange grounding, I get RF out the window. Here, I'll give anybody any kind of money. You come in here and find a piece of RF. You won't. Why? Because it's all balanced audio, balanced antennas, and everything is grounded the way it should. Not together. So I know I'll get flamed and there's going to be, but I'm sorry. We just follow the science. Always follow the science, Cheryl.
Absolutely. Follow the yellow brick road and don't make ground loops. That's really probably what you're trying to say in a nutshell. Okay. And yep. I've got one for you too, Gordo. You're not off the hook here. I'm not going to let you get off easy tonight. So I had someone write in N9WQ, he wrote in, his name is Dave, and he said, can you tell me where you were last weekend? Some show for emergency communications, something like that. Can you go into that a little and share it with everyone, please?
I was in the hills of San Bernardino working with Emergency Communications Service, a group of 250 volunteers that the county says they can make it happen. They make ham radio happen. In fact, we had such a great time up there at Lake Arrowhead that we're going to present short shots next week. Awesome. All about ECS and the great job that these volunteers do up in our foothills of Southern California, protecting thousands and thousands of acres through all their communication service. So next week, the full story, Cheryl.
Oh, cool. That sounds real interesting. I'll be looking forward to seeing that, as everyone else will. I'm especially interested in emergency communications. I have that MCOM level one. So does David. ICS 100, ICS 200, 700, 800. So yeah, that ought to be really, really fascinating. Looking forward to that. Thank you for that answer. And I'm not sure, could you help me? I'm not sure if Skeeter wrote in and he wanted to know if Don could answer this question, but I don't think he's still connected. Is he, Bob? Don Wilbanks?
I don't know. I don't think so.
We've known Don for some time. He's not connected.
He's not connected well.
he's not connected, but he might try us.
I know for sure he's not grounded. I know he's not grounded. Okay.
Sorry. But he could possibly answer it in the chat room in case he missed the question from Skeeter. He said, AE5DW, Don, do you use any kind of special lighting with your webcam? So he might be able to answer that in the chat room at this point in time. So I'll have to leave it at that. And looks like for the most part, I think we're in pretty good shape with a lot of the questions that were answered. I think there's another one in here.
I'm marking down all your lies. I'm here.
Take it away, Don. Did you hear that question?
No. Tell me again. What's the question again?
From Skeeter, someone you know, right? N5ASH. Yeah. He says, Don, do you use any kind of special lighting with your webcam? Go ahead.
No, I don't. I've got a, here, let me just show you. It's a cheap and dirty way of lighting. It's a...
upside down.
No. Ants,
where's that camera pointed?
it's a lamp. It's a lamp with a piece of paper over it. That's all it is. There's my little Behringer mixer.
Catch on fire.
It's a lamp. But no, it's not incandescent. It's a fluorescent.
Oh, it's a fluorescent.
Whoa.
It's one of those curly Q pigtail fluorescent jobs. Yeah, compact fluorescent. That's what it is.
Nice guitar.
And now I'm
great guitar. Yeah, beautiful guitar.
Nice guitar.
I'm a guitar owner, not a player, sadly. So
okay, well, you got them and we don't.
Okay, and last question for you, Bob. This is another one here about electronics. I think you were talking about it earlier. Some new hams may not know what isolation is. So NT9E, Dave, a frequent chat roomer here with us. Hi, Dave. He says, please tell the group the definition of isolation. Bob.
Oh, that's a good one. And I appreciate you asking that because it's really important. If you have, like we're talking about these switches, and say you have two radios and one antenna, and you connect the switch to one of them, well, if the switch is not well isolated, both transmitters will be listening to the same antenna, and you don't get 100% of it. That's the key. You don't get 100% of whatever you're switching here. You get about 80% there and 20 over here, and sometimes you do that, you end up blowing up the front end of that one because this one kind of filters over to that one. There's not a brick wall between them, and you could end up blowing the front ends of your radios if you don't have good isolation between them, right? Okay, that comes from the teacher master here. But isolation is really important. And you can imagine in this station, because many, many times I'm listening and I have three, like right now, all of this is over on the Collins network, which we're going to check into here in a little bit, the Collins AM network on the first Wednesday of each month. While all of this stuff is sitting on 3847, why are we on 3847? Do you have an idea what we're going to do?
No, I bet there's some special there.
Special there, yeah. N9WQ will probably. Oh, okay. Ray's going to be there.
Wonderful.
KHW will be there, but maybe there'll be other people there. Okay. I don't know. Anyway, isolation's really important, and seriously, so that you put a brick wall in that switch that you're not feeding some of this output into this radio. I hope that makes sense to you.
Absolutely. Thank you. And one quick question I have for Gordo. Gordo, this Lebanon convention that you're going to, now are you and Bob and everybody's going to do this live taping session Is there going to be a chat room question thing going on in there? How are you going to work that? Nobody said. I was just curious.
Well, unfortunately, the chat room, we will have a chat room, but it's going to be a live audience. And we, okay. I've got a special wireless microphone hooked up, and we'll all be there. I'm sure sorry you and Dave can't be there for this, but we put this together pretty quickly, and I think it's going to be very, very cool. And there will be a chat room live from the audience. Now, who's going to do awesome. It? I don't know. I kind of think N0 IRS is coming. And JD awesome. Is one of those guys that can do everything, anywhere, anytime. I think he might be a microphone holder and go out and ask questions. I don't know. I just put him on the spot, though. So anyway, we're going to do some chat room, but the chat room is going to be in an 800-seat theater. So I hope we can get a few people to fill up the front row at least. But that's what's going to happen, and we'll see how it all goes. It could just to destroy itself, too, or destroy all of us. But I'll tell you what, we'll have fun doing it.
You bet.
We're all going to be there.
See you this weekend.
Okay. Lebanon, Missouri. Yep.
Sounds great. You guys will be fantastic. I already know. I've seen you together before, and you guys rock, and everything else ought to be just going smoothly for you, and I'll say break a leg. So with that said, and we have all, we're in good shape with the questions. So everyone, until the next time, I'm Cheryl Lessig, K9BIK. I'll see you right here on Ham Nation. Take care.
Okay, kiddo. It was great seeing you tonight. What is this guy here? What is that?
Wow.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Dog okay.
Dog tank.
That's pretty scary, Don. Yeah. That's. Okay. Don is making crazy stuff here with his dog tag, but that's okay. All right. Good to see everybody tonight. We had a lot of fun. George, you're climbing on an airplane soon, and we'll see you tomorrow in the afternoon right here in Springfield, right?
That's right, Bob, and I've got a suitcase loaded full of camera gear I'm going to be bringing with me, so hopefully we'll bring back some additional live footage there as well. They got some great sessions going on this year, and of course we're doing the live Ham Nation and the workshops there, so anybody that can make it over to Lebanon, Missouri, just north of Springfield there. Come on over. I guarantee you'll have a great time. And I'm really looking forward to hanging out with you, Bob, and Gordo again. And it'll be like dating all over.
Yeah, it's going to be fun. It really is. And is Dale still on with us, or do we have to use his feed? Is Dale here?
I had to drop down for Don. So.
Yeah, he's over. Okay. Well, Dale is about, he better get in the car about right now.
Right now.
Man, he's driving. What a great thing. So Dale will be with us tomorrow, and we'll see you all next week right here on good old Ham Nation. Tell all your friends how much fun we're having. I appreciate everybody being here. Really good to have you. Really.
All right, let's play radio.
Let's go get on the air and see what we can do, huh? The
Collins got it. 73, y'all.
Yeah, they're there. Okay. So long, everybody. This is K9EID. Bye-bye for now.
Thanks,
looking forward to that rare DX from Gordo.